In place of doing the traditional sermon, I am doing something today that is sort of sermony and sort of reporting. I want to start by telling you a story. There is a story in the book The Holy Longing that talks about a woman named Betsy. And the author describes her as a person with a heart the size of the Grand Canyon. She is gracious, loving, devoid of prejudice, and with an understanding and empathy wide enough to encompass everything and everybody. Betsy decides to have a party, and she invites everybody she knows. It is, as the author says, a curious mixture of persons, liberals and conservatives, fundamentalists and feminists, promise keepers and New Agers, priests and anti-clerics, union presidents and bankers. Now, given this mix of people, there's a little tension at the party. But because everybody there respects Betsy and likes her, they can be with the others in the room. They respect who she is and what she stands for. And they figure, for this night at least, we'll just all hang in here together and get along. Now, as you can imagine, this gathering of Betsy's would not work very well if Betsy said, "Okay, I'm glad you're all here, but I've got to go." Pretty soon, that party would disintegrate into confrontations and dissipation, disagreement. People would get preoccupied in ways they wouldn't even think about Betsy anymore. Now, it's critical that Betsy, the one everybody admires and likes, is at the party to bring people together. Now, what draws us to this party? Someone, a real person named Jesus Christ. Our goal here at St. Peter's is to know Christ and make him known. We come here with very differing backgrounds and theologies, beliefs and fears and gifts and politics, and yet somehow this community works. We love each other. We help each other. And we are now practicing more and more going outside of this comfortable family to help other people we don't even know. But none of it works at this party if we do not remember that Jesus is the one who invited us here. Jesus is the reason this community can be so diverse and yet so powerfully together. That's why I hope we can continue to focus on the things which unite us, not on the things which divide us, because we need the strength of our community being together. I want to talk to you about the calendar year 2018 in our church. We had 7 funerals. We had 4 weddings and 2 baptisms. And we needed the strength we have by coming together to be here to support one another through our grief and through grace, through our triumphs and our losses, through life and death. This need that I perceive in for our being together in community and in strength resulted, for example, in my asking Dennis not to use names when we pray for government leaders in the prayers of the people. I believe that even the mention of political figures, given the current climate, results in division and resentment. So we will not invoke those names in our liturgy. And technically that is Dennis's call as the deacon, and I believe that he fully agrees with me. Okay? So, In the small things and in the big things, we need to be united. Our charge is to be one in the Spirit, one in the Lord, and when we are able to do that, we will begin to have the strength to push outside our church family to be united with other people who need the healing presence of God. Over the last few years, the vestry, again, because of your generosity, has focused on paying off the church debt from that $200,000 point to now, as we say in the church biz, the end is near. So why pay it off ahead of time? Just to say we're free of debt? Well, that's a nice thing. But the bigger reason is that when we pay it off, we will have money to help the community around us and become one with a greater family. Isaiah says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, 'Give them up,' and to the south, 'Do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." We are charged as Christians to bring people from afar and from the ends of the earth. In practical terms, that means we will help people we've never met. We will feed school children and others in need. We will help families in distress. We will help in a tangible way, funded by your generosity, the people around us, and we will help them in God's name. Of course, we want to say that we're free of debt, but I believe we're called to use the resources that were once put into debt payments to become one with people who are very much unlike us. Homeless, and the hungry, and the hurting out there and in here. There is something that is often quoted, but certainly very apropos for a church meeting. William Temple has said, "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." We aren't here to make ourselves better, to help only ourselves find meaning. We are here to be strong as one and to carry the gospel to those people who believe they have no need of religion or even God. We are not here for ourselves. Eucharistic prayer C even cautions us against that attitude of just being here for our stuff. We pray, "Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. We come here to charge our batteries to go help other people. We come here and we come together to find meaning." I have read an article recently about Viktor Frankl, who is a survivor of the concentration camps, and he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. It is powerful and disturbing and holy. In it, he speaks of something called logotherapy, which is a theory of humanity which seeks to elicit the potential for good and for meaning. And as his approach in logotherapy, his grandson spoke of Viktor Frankl and said he would always assume the best in others, even those who assumed the worst about him. This is the basis of his theory of logotherapy, to look for the best in people. The grandson said he would say, "If you take a man as he is, you make him worse. If you take a man as he can be, you help him become who he can be, the best version of who he is." We are called to do that within our church family, and then to spread that news of meaning and significance to other people. And we get this meaning here not just to help ourselves. I wish John Jenkins could hear that. Here we should maybe call it logos therapy. We remember that we are here together in this diverse group, and we are still able to love because Jesus Christ invited us to this party. Frankl would say that our community and our association with Jesus bring us meaning. He might still call it logotherapy. But we have our own version, logos therapy. We are here together and we are strong together only because Jesus invited us to the party. If we forget him by focusing, as so much of our world does, on divisions, we will not survive. And we will certainly not have the strength to help anyone else. So it has to be about Jesus. Whatever we do here has to be about Jesus. All of it. Amen.